Worship, grow, and live. How many of you remember those three words? A number of you do. It's designed to be as simple as possible for all of us to remember. Over the last 2 years in the spring, we've actually done series on these three words. So some of what I'm going to say is going to be a review for you. Last year, we started out talking about the history of our church and the history of the covenant, why we are covenant people. The short answer is, we stand by the Word of God. We also talked about seizing the moment, seizing the day, carpe diem, making the most of every opportunity that the Lord gives us. We discussed the BLESS program. You might remember the BLESS program. It's an acronym telling us how to share our faith in a very simple way. Again, another simple way to make it easy for us to share the love of Jesus Christ. The BLESS program, the B stands for begin with prayer. The L stands for listening to people, hearing well. The E stands for eating together, my favorite part personally. And the S is for serving, doing something together with somebody. And then sharing your story as the opportunity presents itself. Now, our mission has been carried out in a number of ways. And you can see it just in how this church has supported missionaries. We have been a very generous church. More than a lot of churches our size, we have been generous. As we partnered with people, the Wurglers, I think of in China, of course, and now the Whiteheads in Sweden, and numerous others, both globally, but also locally. Locally, you can see us involved with the Union Gospel Mission in Sioux Falls, being the hands and feet of God, partnering with them. We've hosted their monthly luncheon here. Our people have been part of their ministry, where they actually go down and help them serve. And they do a wonderful thing, helping those that are really less fortunate in the Sioux Falls area. Another great area that we've all enjoyed is the Awana program. Thanks to some very faithful and committed people that have really put out for them. We have ministered through the years to all the kids, to the surrounding community, Larchwood. I think we have anywhere from 30 to 50 kids on a Wednesday night from churches, but just walk-ins from the community, which has been pretty awesome to be part of. I have enjoyed that immensely. And we never know when we help kids embed themselves with God's Word, when that's going to play back, when the impact of that will truly be shown. It is a blessing for everyone involved. Matter of fact, I just talked to the wife of the guy that started Awana not too long ago here in this church in the early 70s. It was good talking to him as we reflected on those days. So today, we're here to revisit our mission. We're here to look at it again and kind of touch basis with what God is doing here, what God's purpose is for us here. I mean, it's always good to touch basis with God. It's always good to ask the question, what are we about here at Grandview? What would the Lord have us do? I love that passage that was read before. It's probably strategically one of the more important passages that I have studied and even memorized. You see, it's important because in Luke 4, we have an account of Jesus sharing his ministry statement. He visits his hometown, Nazareth. It's one of those places where everybody knows his name. And if you're from Larchwood or the surrounding area, you know what that means. He comes there and they give him the scriptures, the scrolls in that case. They give him the scroll of Isaiah. He opened Isaiah and he read, it says he sought out what is Luke 61, 1 through 4. And he reads it. And he's actually sharing his roadmap. He's actually sharing what he plans to do. And you can tell he's anxious. He's ready to get going. And so he shares the words that we heard earlier. And then he says this at the end. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. That means when he was talking, what he was saying, scripture was fulfilled. Luke 4. I don't know if you catch how important it is You see, it's the mission. It's what Jesus himself wanted to do. It's therefore what, as followers of Christ, we should want to do. And he's announcing. He's announcing the mission for the Messiah. The Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah, that the people have waited for generations for. And some of that announcement is that it is now the year of the Lord's favor. At that moment in time, God was blessing the people, not just Israel, but the entire earth, with the Lord's favor, with the mission of the Messiah. And to summarize what he said, because I'm sure you weren't able to capture it all as read, I want to read, the Spirit of the Lord was on him and anointed him to proclaim the following. Go ahead. The good news to the poor. Freedom for the prisoners, sight for the blind, and freedom for the oppressed. Seems pretty simple. Just four precise points. And you could look at it and say, well, what's meant by that? Is that just kind of general language to generally help people heal physically or spiritually? What's he mean by the poor? And I thought about this a lot. Poor in spirit, what does that mean? And there's two thoughts I thought of right away. I thought of those who are Christians. Those who struggle with God. They're followers of God. But life has dealt them things that they just struggle with. Maybe it's the death of a loved one. Maybe it's a health concern. Maybe it's a financial situation. Whatever it is, it's all around that issue of, why do bad things happen to good people? And the flip side, why do good things happen to bad people? That's one thought. The other thought is the poor in spirit could be those that don't know Jesus at all. They have no relationship with God at all. Sure, they've heard of him, but they don't know what it means to have a personal relationship with him. What it means to actually walk with God. It's a pretty awesome thing. I think that Jesus definitely wasn't being totally literal here. I think he was speaking specifically to us. I think he was speaking specifically to us individually, but also as a church. So the poor in spirit is one thing, but what about the prisoners? What about the blind? What about the oppressed? And I believe it should be thought of more in this way. I think of prisoners who are held captive, who are in bondage by a debt so intense that they can never get out of it. They're chained to the reality. I believe it's, in considering the blind, it is not just specifically for people who can't physically see, it's for people who can't actually see the realness of God. Matter of fact, without help, they'll be stuck. They'll just be stuck. They'll never be able to move forward. And how about those who are crunched in life? Crunched. If you've ever had a business go bankrupt, or if you've ever had a devastating sickness, you know what being crunched by life means. But those people will know nothing else. They came into the world in a tough time, and they've never left. They're literally lost. They have no hope. But the great news is what Jesus brings. What Jesus is bringing that we get a hint of in this passage is the solutions that he brings. Jesus Christ came to pay our debt of sin, giving freedom when there was no way out. Jesus Christ stood in the gap. He's paying the debt so we can get out of debt. That's a pretty awesome thing. He came to share the truth fully and completely. What God has provided with his love. That's pretty awesome. And another solution, Jesus came to release the downtrodden from being held tightly by Satan. So we don't really think of it too much. When we're crunched in life, Satan loves to take advantage of those times. He loves to hang on. And we're here to help Jesus release that grip that Satan has on people. Maybe it's through drugs, pornography. Maybe it's through a variety of reasons. But Jesus really has come to set us free on numerous fronts. It's like he comes with a get-out-of-jail card for eternity. If you remember the game of Monopoly. And it's hard to understand. I mean, who, what, how, and why? Well, the who is Jesus Christ, obviously. The what is he sacrificed his life for us. The how is he did it on the cross. And the why is pretty simple. He did it through his love. And at first glance, it seems almost too simple. It seems, I mean, the whole free thing, it's free to us, and it is free. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that freedom, is free to us, and we could take it for granted. But it wasn't free to Jesus. It wasn't a very cheap thing. It came at a high price. Now, the reason we are here today is to recognize and accept this great gift from God. The gift of Jesus Christ. And that's why before everything, before all else, we look to worship God. We look to recognize what he has done for us. We look to recognize, acknowledge, and appreciate it. We look to love the Lord God with our heart, our soul, and our minds. Matthew 22:37 says very simply, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You know, really, I think it's just something we can strive for. But that should be our goal. That should be our intent. Worshiping God. I mean, it's not like we can pay him back no matter what we do. What God has done through Jesus Christ for us, what God has done, is almost beyond our comprehension to totally take in, to totally understand. But we can worship him. We can show him our gratefulness and recognize what he's done by worshiping him. Which brings us to our second word. The second word in our statement is grow. It's a simple word. It's a word that we've attached to growing Christ in. To our understanding of Christ. To grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. To grow in his word. We must seek to understand him. And sometimes we get confused with all the Trinity and the relationship of God. In John 1:1-3, we see these verses. In the beginning, the word already existed. The word was with God and the word was God. You could really substitute and say, in the beginning, Jesus already existed. And Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He existed in the beginning with God. He created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. It reminds me of the study I've done on the creation verses in Genesis and how you see the Father and Son and Holy Spirit very active in that first chapter in the book of Genesis. Our eternal lives center on the person of Jesus Christ. The words of John 1:1-3 start to explain some of the relationship of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. One thing we know, without Jesus Christ, without God's Word, we have no standing. Through Jesus Christ, we have an eternal standing. Through Jesus Christ, we have a holy standing before a holy God. By aligning our hearts to his priorities, we can develop a heart and an attitude where we recognize everything we have, everything we are belongs to him. He's actually entrusting us as his stewards and giving us responsibilities to carry out his work and his purpose. And sometimes we lose sight of that. You know, growing can be challenging. Just recently, I injured myself in really a slight way. But enough that I had to stop working out. And if you know me, even though I might not look it, I work out every day, 6 days a week. And I get, I don't want to say proud, but I get up to some fairly high weights. Nothing like the weights you do, Cole, I'm sure. But so when I can't work out, and I couldn't work out for like 2 months, and I've just started working out again, oh man, have I gotten sore. At first, I just went through the motions without any weights. That was a little painful. But then I started lifting weights, baby weights at first, and now I'm just above the baby weight stage. and it's really hurting. Matter of fact, when you see me now, I'm pretty much sore all the time, but it's a good sore. It's a sore I like because I can feel my muscles growing stronger. Well, that's how our spiritual walk is. You know, I couldn't go just from 1 pound to 300 pounds. You just can't do it. You have to build up to it. In our spiritual walk, sometimes we need to do it in a pace that we can handle, and I think God understands that. But it does start with just being consistent. It starts with doing just a little bit at a time. It's an awesome thing to grow. Physically, it's even a better thing to grow spiritually, because that lasts a lot longer. Which brings us to our third element. One we've been camped out a little bit as we've studied the fruits of the Spirit, and that is live. Live by God's Spirit. Live by His Holy Spirit. And of course, the Holy Spirit draws us to His will, draws us to His purposes. And the Holy Spirit's our encourager, our comforter. He's the very presence of God with us 24/7, always there. Sometimes we try to squelch Him, but He's always there, helping us to live out the mission that Jesus gave us. So the Holy Spirit calls us to action. The Holy Spirit is a dynamic. It's an energy. It's an action. It's a motivation for us. Through the Spirit, we find ourselves, we can be in community to strengthen us, to protect us. The Holy Spirit emboldens us as we pursue His plan, as we make up His church, as we make up His church. We are His church. You know, this building's a great building. I love this church. I really like the new oak over my office. That looks really nice in the trim. You know, the building's wonderful, but the building is just a building. Someday this building will pass, but the bride of Christ will go on for eternity. And we are, as a group of people, the church. When we invite people to church, we shouldn't be thinking we're inviting them to the little church on the hill. We should be thinking we invite them to be part of our community, part of our family here at Grandview. So a call to action. The Holy Spirit calls us to action, so what do we do? And you're going to recognize this verse because we've read it before. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. The last words Jesus gave us as He went up to heaven, kind of like the picture behind, the last words. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Oh, it's those words. Go and make disciples. They make me restless. They really do. The words "go and make disciples" demands we take action. But how do we do that as a people? How do we do that as a church? Well, there's lots of ideas, and there's lots of things we can do. But one thing we can't do, we can't ignore the words. I am not ready to ignore the words of Jesus Christ to go and make disciples. Last year we reviewed some of the reasons why we don't. And I remember thinking through this. I'm going to share just three of them quickly. We have just a small county here. I mean, there's only 11,000 people here. And besides that, they're all assigned to a church. They all have connections to a church. But I really think the reason is they're too busy. They're just too busy. The truth is, aren't we all too busy? We are all so busy, sometimes we forget the priorities we need to keep. And there's nothing wrong with being busy and having your days filled. Maybe it comes down to priorities. I am going to read a passage from the Message, Romans 13, 11 through 14. It's a little bit, I don't want to say in our face, but at least it touches me that way. But make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted and taking care of all your day-to-day obligations that you lose track of the time and doze off, oblivious to God. The night is about over. Dawn is about to break. be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches, and this is cool, on the salvation work he began when we first believe. We'll go on to the next verse. We can't afford to waste a minute. We must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence and sleeping around in dissipation and bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter and linger, waiting until the last minute. Dress yourself in Christ, and we've talked about that, and be up and about. Dispensation, I had to look that up. Wasn't quite sure what it is. It's like sexual stuff and being drunk. Don't be doing that kind of stuff. Instead, focus on what you need to be focused about. Don't wait. Our days are precious. So we arrive at, so what do we do? I mean, people around us are literally dying. They are going to hell. That's what the Bible says. The default is we all go to hell except for Jesus Christ. One thing I know God doesn't want us to do necessarily, I don't think he expects us to go to Highway 9 and stand up and start preaching. That'd be fine if you wanted to do that. I don't think he expects us to go to a football game and hold up a sign that says John 3:16 during the game. Again, you could do that if you want. No, we need to do something tangible. We need to do something now, as individuals and as people. So I'm going to bring us back to BLESS, but in a little different way. Remember BLESS, the acronym. You begin with prayer. You listen. You eat with people. You serve with them. You share your story. Bless, there it is. I knew it was going to come up. Well, I'm going to have us do one thing, literally. I'm going to have us just focus on the first item, begin with prayer. We're just talking, you and God. I think you can do this. But I'm going to do a little bit different too. And what I'm going to have you pray first for you. I want you to pray for yourself to help the Lord align your heart so you can be in sync with God and what he'd have you do. You see, this is just the first step, but it starts with prayer. You know, there's been many revivals in the church, but none of them start. None of them in the history of the church started without prayer. It starts with God's people connecting to God directly, individually, and as a church. So I'm going to ask during the month of June, that means we're already into it, that you pray for you. And then after you do that, you pray for three families or three people or some combination. Three. I'm going to ask that every day you pray for three people or families. Every day. It's simple, but it's hard because it's every day. Every day. Because it begins with prayer. Now, you're welcome to follow the rest of the BLESS program, to listen, to eat, to serve, to share. That would be great. I don't want you to forget that. And if you feel God sending you to do that, please do that. But what I'm asking is for you to share for three people or families. And if you want, and only as you want, share it with me. I would be encouraged hearing, yeah, I'm up for that. That's not too hard. I can do that. Burdell mentioned that we're going to be on vacation next week. It's true, and you will be blessed by Nathan Hitchcock. He lives just on the other side of Granite. He used to teach at Sioux Falls Seminary. He's off doing something on his own. I hope he shares that with you. He's a very exciting guy, and I think you'll appreciate him. Also, when I get back, though, on the 16th, we're going to be beginning a series on the start of the church. We're going to be looking at the first 8 chapters of Acts. It'll take us through the summer. I thought of doing it all for the next year, but that's a little bit too much for people to do a study that long. We'll come back to it. But I'm going to call it The Church Begins, Part 1. It's pretty exciting, dramatic passages of Scripture. I think it's some of the most exciting parts of Scripture as the Church of Jesus Christ starts from the beginning through the Holy Spirit. I hope you're able to come. I hope you don't take too much vacation because you're not going to want to miss it. Although you could catch the recording if you do. And I will pray that we stand strong. I will pray that we are ambassadors for God, especially spiritually, in our prayers. Wherever we are, on the job, as we're at a sports event, as we're shopping, walking in town, whatever. But the bottom line is, and this is the bottom line, it is not up to you. It is up to the Holy Spirit to touch the hearts that we're going to interface with. That's His responsibility. Our responsibility is to be obedient and faithful, to make our priority the things of Jesus. As we pray, I want us to remember that phrase, go and make disciples. Because we're called to worship God. We're called to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and His Word. And we're called to live boldly by the Spirit of God, to go and make disciples. Let me pray. Father, thank You. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for sending Jesus Christ. I pray that as we consider the priorities You put in front of us, that You do indeed empower us with Your presence. I pray that we all can commit to lift up three families or individuals, that we can lift up spiritually. We can lift their souls up to You. Give us the wisdom and discernment to know who You'd have us pray for. In Jesus' name. Amen.